For March the 17th, 2021, this is Devotex Games, episode 207. Well, I have yet to make the push into Mythic. I have not even gotten into Diamond yet. I should say even, because I ended up at Diamond last time. This month, I was thinking that I would make a push early on to try to get up into Mythic, not have to be up against the clock at the end of the season, of the month. But I just haven't been feeling it. I've wanted to experiment some, mess around with some deck ideas, and none of them have felt really like tier one decks. They're kind of like tier 3 or something, tier 4, maybe even. Kind of a gold league or, yeah, thereabouts. They do okay in platinum, which is where I am now. I was pushed down into gold since I ended up at platinum last time. So I've pushed up into platinum at least. Which was, of course, or not of course, but it was fairly easygoing. As would be expected. But then I wasn't having much success with that, the decks that I was, my experimentation decks. So I kind of just stopped moving upwards and kind of gave up on that in a way. I wanted to stick with some experimentation and not just going with the surefire decks. Also, I was hadn't been feeling that urge to be that dedicated. I want to kind of play just for fun and see where it takes me and what kind of games you get, and not to the playing the decks that will that are very consistent because they tend to get a bit boring after a while, I find. I made a Temur Turns deck. I don't know if I mentioned it before. I think I might have. Which I was doing pretty well with before the end of last season. Not enough to get into Mythic, but at least to stay in Diamond. I don't remember exactly how if that was the deck I was playing when I got into Mythic or not, but it's a fairly fun deck to play. It doesn't require too much brain power, so you can kind of go on autopilot almost. Since it's an adventure deck, the decisions are mainly around when and if to play Innkeeper, and if you want to hold off on something else. I guess this month I've just played the deck 3 times, and I have a 1-2 ratio of matches, so 33% win. So that's not good, but of course it's a known quantity, and I might have had a bad matchup. I don't remember. In total, I think this last iteration of the deck is at 65% win rate. I have 88 on play and 44 on draw, so that's a real drawback. Maybe I should look over if there's something you can do to make it a better deck on the draw as well. But anyway, that's not the deck that I have been playing. Like I said, I've been mostly experimenting and trying out some new ideas. And one idea that I've been messing around with quite a lot is a token deck based around Isika's Chariot. So Echika's Chariot, if you don't know, is a legendary artifact vehicle for 3 in a green, and it's 4/4, and it reads: When Echika's Chariot enters the battlefield, create 2/2 green cat creature tokens, and whenever Echika's Chariot attacks, create a token that's a copy of a target token you control, and it costs 4 to crew. So the standard play is get Ezekias into play, you get two cats. Next turn you crew the chariot with the two cats, and you attack and make a new cat. Pretty standard stuff, and fairly good, but you can do better. So I started looking around at what kind of tokens there are that I might want to copy, and try to make a deck around that. Of course, the given one is the Kraken from Kira Best the Sea God. So that's an already classic combination. Play the Chariot, play Kira Best the Sea God. Crew the chariot with the Kraken, and you get a new 8/8 blue Kraken creature token with hexproof, and then you are pretty much winning the game. Not always, of course. I've had matchups where I've had a couple of Krakens and still lose. Another good card to use is Coma, since it's producing 3/3 serpents every turn, and so why not get some more serpents? Of course, it's an expensive card, so I just have one in the deck. Shark Typhoon, you want to start copying your big flying sharks. That's a good alternative as well. And I have some other ones like Elder Gargaroth, which creates the 3/3 beast, and also Vivian, which does the same. Of course, Vivian's beasts can have either vigilance, trample, or reach, so that makes them even better. Besides that, we have I have three copies of Orvar in the deck, and that is it's Orvar, the old form, a 3/3 legendary creature shapeshifter for 3 and a blue, which has changeling. It reads: Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, if it targets one of or more other permanents you control, create a token that's a copy of one of those permanents. When a spell or ability an opponent controls causes you to discard this card, create a token that's a copy of a target permanent. So that's another way to start making copies of your token creatures, or pretty much anything actually, as long as you have some kind of instant or sorcery that targets it. So to help with that, I have three copies of Snakeskin Veil in here, which puts a +1/+1 counter on a creature and gives it hexproof until end of turn, which is also useful for protecting your the creatures that you want to copy. I have two Depart the Realm, an instant for one and a blue, which reads: Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand, which you can also foretell for one blue. This is also really useful because if you have Orvar in play, you can save your permanent, whatever it is, and also get a copy of it. So you're getting the original into your hand, and you're getting a copy. So, no lose, no foul there. And you can replay that later on. Also, I have three Unsubstantiate in here, which is for an instant for one and a blue, and it reads: Return target spell or creature to its owner's hand. So that can you be used as a counter spell. Of course, they still get the spell in hand, so they can replay it later, but by then hopefully it'll be too late, or you'll have some other way of dealing with it. And of course, you can use it to protect your own creatures or permanents in the same way. If you have Orvar in play, well, even if, without Orvar, but with Orvar, you get a copy. Then, since this is a pretty expensive deck, I have some ramp cards, three cultivate or two cultivates and two Wolf Will Havens. Then three chariots, as I mentioned, three gargoyles, one Vivian, three shark typhoons, and two great henges, because why not? Those are pretty good once you start getting those big creatures like Elder Gargaroth or the Kira Kraken or Koma in play. I also have three Fae of Wishes, which is great for reaching that wish board sideboard. I'll get into that in a minute, but it is both a since it's both a sorcery and a creature you might want to it's a good blocker and it'll get whatever card you're not finding in your deck at the moment. You can have a copy in the sideboard. Then there's the unexpected star of the show, actually. Of course, it doesn't work on it, or it does work on its own, but it's not intended. It works better in this deck, which is Mythos of Illuna. I've had three of those for a long time, used them on and off. Often they're too expensive, and the use is too niche. But now, in this deck, they really shine, and so I bought a fourth one for a wild card. So Mythos of Illuna is a sorcery for two and two blue. And it reads, create a token that's a copy of target permanent. If a red and a green was spent to cast the spell, instead create a token that's a copy of that permanent. Except the token has, when this permanent enters the battlefield, if it's a creature, it fights up to one target creature you control. You don't control, I mean. And this. There's a couple of things I want to get to in here regarding the tokens, and sorry. And this is a really interesting part of it. For one thing, I've never really thought about this before, but I mean, it's great to be able to make a copy of your opponent's creature and then either kill one of their smaller creatures with your token, or kill that creature, and maybe you just take out both creatures at that time if you're making a copy of a 4/4 or something, and they both die. But if it doesn't die, it's an interesting thing here is that the text, it doesn't read that it just fights. It says that the token has this ability that when this permanent enters the battlefield, if it's a creature, it fights up to one target creature you don't control. So what you really want to do is make a copy of some powerful creature, Elder Gargaroth, for instance. It fights and kills one of your opponent's creatures. Then you crew the chariot with the new copy, which has summoning sickness. And as you attack, you get a yet another copy of this token if you want, and which also has, of course, this ability that it fights another creature that you don't own when it comes into play. So you're taking out one of your opponent's creatures, making a token of Gargaroth, and then as you attack, you make yet another copy and kill, hopefully, yet another of your opponent's creatures, and then you're on your way to success. So that's a really nice little bonus feature that I try to use as much as possible. And of course this also works with Orvar the Allform. So if you've made a token and you can then target it with the skin snakeskin veil or Well, hopefully that and not depart the realm or unsubstantiate. But if you, in a pinch, you could do that as well. Make a new copy which fights another of the opponent's creatures. So that's one really nice feature of this deck, synergy with the Mythos of Illuna. Another one which works with both Mythos of Illuna and Orvar is that these cards actually read, make a token that's a copy of target permanent. So it doesn't have to be a creature, it could be anything. So I had a really interesting matchup where I was playing a mono white deck, and they played oh, what's that called? The white enchantment that is it called Depart? Oh, I have to look this up. One second. So the card I was trying to remember the name of is Banishing Light. So an enchantment that will what's the word? Let me just bring up the text. So Banishing Light for two and a white enchantment reads, when Banishing Light enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent an opponent controls until Banishing Light leaves the battlefield. So I was playing a mono white deck that was playing this card, and it call cast Banishing Light on, I think, my Gargrath, which I had in play. Not really important for the story, but I then got the Mythos of Illuna in hand, so I was able to make a copy of the Banishing Light to counter that Banishing Light by exiling it instead and getting my card back. And of course, now I had a token which I could copy with my Issikis Chariot, so I then proceeded for the next 3 or 4 turns to crew my chariot, attack, get a new Banishing Light, and exile another permanent of the opponent. So I had 3 or 4 tokens, token copies of their Banishing Light. So that was pretty funny, and a fun way to outdo the opponent with their own card. Yeah, and I've copied some other things as well. Nothing comes to mind right now, but it's really handy to be able to make tokens of pretty much anything. Only drawback is, of course, when you make tokens of legendary permanents, that can be, you just get to keep one, of course. So it's not that useful. It can be in a pinch, of course, better than having none. Then you can make a copy. If one gets targeted, you can make a copy, and at least you have one. So so this is a really fun deck to play. It's a bit slow, and it doesn't really have any a lot of removal. Besides the Mythos of Illuna, and you really need that red and green mana to be on your side at the moment as well. But I do have 3 Fae of Wishes in here, so I have a sideboard to help me out a bit. Been messing around with this back and forth. There's a bunch of cards here that are for specific matchups that I haven't really used yet, but I have Sleep of the Dead and Escape Velocity, which is escape cards for any rogue matchups that might come in handy. Or Escape Velocity could be useful if I get some big creature into play and want to be able to attack and win right away. So that's in there. I have a Disdainful Stroke and a Mystical Dispute to battle any counter wizards, counter magicians, Glimpse of Freedom is also one of those escape cards to help me draw on more cards, so that can be helpful. Inscription of Abundance is just like a Swiss Army card. Since it can target one of my own cards, put two counters on it, that's useful if you need that, if you want to target something for Orvar, for instance. Or you can get life from it, or you can make one of your creatures fight one of the opponent's creatures as a removal method. I have one Transmogrify, which can be useful. I had those in the main deck initially, but quite often they'll hit one of the smaller creatures that I don't really want a copy of. What I'm looking to do is make a copy of or find Gargoroth mostly, or Kosma, no, not Kosma, Koma. But every now and then it'll hit an Orvar, and maybe I already have one in play, or a Fey, which is can be good, but probably not what I'm looking for. So I have that in the sideboard just as a backup plan, I guess. I have another Issikis Chariot, which is quite often a target. If I haven't found that yet, I'll use I'll use the granted to grab that. Shark Typhoon as well, same thing there, and a Great Henge. Then I have a Nugin and a Genesis Ultimatum, which come in handy. Genesis Ultimatum is just why not have it in here since I'm playing Temur colors, and then a Sublime Epiphany, which is also one of those Swiss Army knives with lots of different abilities, but that requires quite a lot of mana. And to finish off, I have a Fabled Passage if I need some extra mana or a specific color. But yeah, this is a fun deck to play. Matchup in ranked has not been good. I have a 3-6 win-loss. The last change I made was put in the Wolf Willow Haven. And removed an Ugin, which I had in the main deck. Yeah, and I moved a bunch of cards to the sideboard, basically. Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. I removed Ugin because I or Urien, I mean, because I attempted to make a Urien deck out of this, but it wasn't really successful. I was just not finding the things I needed, and the extra cards I put in there were not really important. So I took that out again. I tried that because I was losing against Rogues, but the deck didn't become any better, so that wasn't really worth it. So besides that deck, I've been playing around with some other ones. One that I put together this morning actually is I started thinking about what I was listening to the ArenaCraft podcast yesterday, and they were talking about attacking the metagame and trying to see what's not in the metagame to try to figure out what might be coming up next and what could be good against the decks that are being played. So right now there's a lot of creature decks, a lot of focus on aggro. And usually the control decks are too slow, and they can have real problems dealing with that. And I've tried a few Urien decks recently. Like I mentioned, I tried to make that Simic deck, or a Temur deck actually, into a Urien deck that really did work. And CGB yesterday on ArenaCraft was talking about that classic mistake, which is what I did, was trying to just increase my deck into a Yorian deck by just stuffing it with other stuff that might be useful but isn't really helping me, just in order to get it to 80 cards and you have that as a anti rogues deck. But as I found, and as he was talking about, if you're just diluting your deck and you don't have enough cards that deal with the rogue or the creatures, then you're gonna die anyway, just a slower death. But yeah, so I started thinking about, well, okay, what can I do to make a deck that I'm not seeing right now, that has a lot of removal, because there isn't all that much in Simic colors or Temur colors that's very powerful. But so the ones that stood out to me were, of course, Shadow of the Sky and Doomscar are useful. Don't really work well against the mono white decks though. But for that, you could have things like Elspeth Conqueror's Death and, of course, Extinction Event. So, okay, black and white. Then I want a ramp because I don't want to be run over by the quick aggro decks. So, of course, green is the go-to color there. So I ended up with that combination of a white, black, and green deck. I already had a Golgari deck, a black and green deck, with my favorite, based around my favorite card at the moment, Ugin, or one of my favorites anyway. I like to build decks around Ugin. I feel most at home with Ugin decks. So, okay, I thought, well, okay, let's see if I can turn this. It was a Borenklex Ugin deck, which had fairly amount good amount of removal, but it was a little too slow, a little too one-sided, one note deck, because yeah, you could be easily milled out by rogues. So okay, moving into a Yorian deck that kind of is alleviated by the additional cards, and it also gives me some space to put in some more removal. So I put in some Maze Mine Tomes for that consistency. I already had some Stone Cold Serpents. Those stick around. Birth of Melites gives you some life and some ramp. Search for Glory to find the cards you're looking for when you're playing a deck which is a bigger deck, and it's harder to top deck the cards that you need. I put in Elspeth's Nightmare to help against other control decks, so you can, and also deal with the little critters that aggro decks have. So those are useful, three of those. I have Cosmos Elixir, which is, I already had four of those, but those help with keeping you alive and drawing more cards. Shadow of the Sky, two of those, three Extinction Events, four Gem Razors, and three Toskies, which is a combination I already had in the deck to help drawing cards. And that was also kind of the idea behind this deck, that the Toski decks have been doing fairly well recently, especially the Naya deck. But I didn't feel like I needed any red cards, so I stuck with this black, green, and white instead, and it's a good combination. Of course, now that I have already, or actually, I already had Binding the Old Gods in here, but so those helped to ramp and deal with creatures. I had two, or have two, Forsaken Monuments, one Doomscar. That's just basically because I only have one so far, so maybe I'll put in another one and remove a Shadow of the Sky when I get one. Probably I will. Two Elspeth's Nightmare, or Elspeth's Conqueror's Death. As I was playing with this deck this morning, I realized I came across, or played against a deck that was playing Kaya the Inexorable, to great effect together with Vorinclex. Really good combination there. You can ultimate Kaya really quickly if you have, or immediately actually if you have Vorinclex in play. So the ultimate on Kaya reads: you get an emblem with at the beginning of your upkeep, you may cast a legendary spell from your hand, from your graveyard, or from among cards you own in exile without paying its mana cost. So, if you're able to get your Vorinclex and Kaya into play and ultimate it, you're pretty much set because then you can just bring back your Vorinclex if it's removed and you don't really need the Kaya anymore. And yeah, I had a real tough problems, real tough time dealing with that. I actually couldn't. I lost. So I thought, well, Kaya's in my colors. Why not throw one in here? So I've done that. I've yet to be able to use it any good effect, but we'll see how that goes. I stuck one area ultimatum in here just to be able to just bring back lots of stuff from the graveyard late in the game. It's good against rogues as well if you're able to cast it. And two Ugins and then a bunch of lands with a heavy emphasis on the colorless lands because since I have Forsaken Monument. And since I'm playing Replicating Ring, I think I skipped that. Three copies of that. It's fairly easy to get the mana that I need most of the time anyway. So that works out really well. So four Crawling Barrens, three Field of Ruins, two Labyrinth of Scofos, four Radiant Fountains, one Tyrite Sanctum, four Snow-Covered Plains, four Snow-Covered Swamps, two Snow-Covered Forests, four Indatha Triome, and four Unknown Shores. So this is a real fun deck to play. We'll see how it goes. I have the current version has a 2-0, 100% win rate. So looking good so far. We'll see how that goes moving forward. But yeah, I think that will have to do for this episode. Bye bye.